Hi everyone, welcome to Module 2 of the OsteoVibe program. And in this module, we're going to go through exercise and osteoporosis. Before we get into any vibration-specific exercise concepts, we're going to take a bit of time introducing you to the role of exercise in osteoporosis management. There's been a lot of confusion about which exercises are the best, or when to start exercising. I found that a lot of my osteoporosis patients had put in time with exercise, but they didn't know why their bone density was still getting worse. It turns out that most didn't understand what type of exercise actually helps. The following are some of the key points to know about exercise and osteoporosis. This summary that we're going to go through is not designed to be a comprehensive explanation. We prefer that you spend more time actually doing your vibration exercise sessions rather than reading. However, this should give you a good summary of what helps. Overloading forces must be placed on bone to stimulate bone formation. This means that you must gradually keep increasing your exercise intensity for it to be effective for bone growth in the long term. The two accepted strategies to make your bones resistant to fractures are 1. Maximize the gain in bone mineral density in the first 3 decades of life, and 2. Minimize the reduction in bone mineral density after the age of 40 due to endocrine changes, aging, decline in physical activity, and various other factors. A lot of people are surprised when we start mentioning big words like overloading forces and increasing intensity. Because a lot of my patients have gone through a lot of different exercise programs and said, you know what, I walk an hour a day, or I do weight training 3 times a week. And as I look a little bit more deeper and deeper in what they do, they seem to do the same thing all the time. You get into a comfort zone with your exercises and you continue to do the same thing. That's one of the secrets of positive effects on your bones. You need to increase the intensity, or you need to increase or change up the type of exercises and the change up the intensity levels of the exercises. So if you keep your muscles and bones guessing, you're always going to have positive adaptations. And that's going to be the premise of all the exercise programs in your OsteoVibe program, and basically the premise for a lot of the other fitness programs. Now, physical activity plays many different roles during a person's lifetime. Now, we just mentioned that there's 2 accepted strategies, and one was to increase the strength around your bones as much as you can by the time you reach the age of 30. And that's why a lot of my osteoporosis patients who do have kids or grandkids, we do recommend that they start some form of resistance training, whether it's vibration or it's strength training, prior to the age of 30. The stronger you are, the more fit you are at that time. It's going to prevent bone loss later on. We know that it helps to maximize the bone mass during the childhood and early adult years, maintains bone mass through the 5th decade, and helps prevent bone loss with aging, and reduces falls and fractures in the elderly. As you can see, physical activity is a lifelong commitment. Bone mass decreases by about 0.5% per year or more after the age of 40, regardless of sex or ethnicity. That's why it's important to address the ability to exercise to slow down or prevent bone loss in this age group. And it's not necessarily to increase bone density. So we're going to go through that also and kind of give you guys an idea that, hey, it's not about the bone density increases only. It's about preventing further bone loss. Now, we know that walking programs of up to 1 year have provided only modest effects, if any, on maintaining bone mass. Higher intensity levels such as stair climbing and jogging were generally found to be more positive. The incidence of hip fractures has been found to be about 20 to 40% lower in individuals that exercise. Women who walked 4 hours per week had a 41% lower risk of hip fracture compared to women that walk less than 1 hour per week. This suggests that even low-intensity exercises, something like walking, can be beneficial. especially when it comes to lowering your fracture risk. But we're not going to be seeing some bone density increases with walking. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I do recommend walking basically because we know that any form of exercise is good, and it does help with less fracture risk. You're walking, you're increasing the strength, you're increasing your balance. But we know that it's the strength training component of any program that's going to be the most effective when it comes to minimizing bone density loss or actually increasing that bone density. Now, apart from vibration training, what are the other recommended exercises? Well, they include weight-bearing endurance activities such as tennis, stair climbing, jogging, etc. It also includes activities that involve jumping, volleyball, basketball, and things like that, and resistance training, things like weight training. So we know apart from vibration exercise, there is quite a few different other exercises that you can do, starting from the most easiest up to something that's a little bit more difficult as you start getting into it. Also, we know that exercise intensity should be moderate to high. Now, when we talk about moderate to high, we are talking about exercise to be able to minimize bone density or actually increase bone density. Things like walking, as we said, is not going to give you that significant effect on the bone density, but it is going to decrease fracture risk. But exercise intensity, just for the sake of bone, should be at a moderate to high level. Now, some of the recommendations from experts out in the field, one of the other things is frequency of training should be 2 to 3 times per week. Now, this could be vibration, this could be weight training, this could be everything, but we know that a 2 to 3 times per week frequency is the best and most optimal. There's been some studies on vibration done 2 times a week showing some positive benefits, but in my experience, got to make it at least about a minimum of 3 times a week of vibration exercise to be able to see some significant changes. And we'll go through those areas also in the future. One of the other recommendations that's been made by a lot of different expert associations is that exercise should be a minimum of 30 minutes. Now, duration is usually 30 to 60 minutes, which is a combination of vibration training and other forms of endurance and resistance exercises. The exercise program should aim to target all the major muscle groups. So even in osteoporosis, we are recommending over and over again that as you start getting fitter, as you start seeing some results in terms of feeling better, getting more strength, we want you to be able to do a lot of other things in addition to vibration, because the more you attack your body with, the better your body's going to be. Now that we've gone through some of the key findings on the effects of exercise and vibration, or exercise and osteoporosis, now let's take a look at the role of vibration exercise in osteoporosis. Vibration exercise is one of the most effective forms of training that you can do for osteoporosis. I've had over about 10 years of experience with vibration and osteoporosis for my patients. What I found was that most of my older patients weren't able to begin any high-intensity exercise programs, either due to limitations in mobility, lack of time, or inability to perform high-intensity exercises due to just simply the fear of injury or lack of knowledge. Vibration exercise allows one to generate a relatively high-intensity amount of muscle contractions and bone stimulus in a short period of time. Once you begin vibration training, it's a lot easier to increase the intensity than it is with conventional exercises. Let's face it, I've provided a lot of exercise programs over the years, and I found that the type of intensity required to achieve positive bone density results was not attainable by some of my patients. That's why we've developed this program. We'll provide you with research references also on the effects of vibration on bone density. We'll also go through the different vibration exercise concepts to help you achieve your goals. Finally, we'll also give you recommendations on other exercise programs that you can do. Now, the first goal of vibration exercise. Vibration exercise is based on following proper exercise principles that have shown to be beneficial for osteoporosis. Module 1 primarily focused on building up your knowledge of your vibration exercise program. That came from starting off with the vibration training sessions component of the website. If you feel that exercise times that were given to you are too difficult, just lessen the time of each exercise. Remember that the first thing we want to build up is endurance. That's done through repetition and not by forcing yourself to endure pain or discomfort. Be patient. You'll be able to build up to about 10 minutes of vibration exercise over the next few weeks. That's why the exercises in this module are based on increasing your endurance. The exercises are simple, yet highly effective. They provide the foundation for all your future osteoporosis exercises. One of the big things we look at is finding out what the most common areas affected are with the exercise. The most common areas affected by osteoporosis are the wrists, spine, and hips. Therefore, we're going to break these body parts down and focus on one body part per week. This week, the focus is on the hips. The squat exercise is one of the best for the hip. However, make sure you also concentrate on the right part of your foot that will be making contact with the vibration platform. And we're basically talking about the heels. As you learn in the vibration training sessions, heel contact increases the intensity of the vibration. Now, this simple technique is even more important for the osteoporosis program because heel contact increases the amount of positive stresses being passed on up the legs to the spine. They also take time for some people to get used to, so start off slowly and gradually progress to applying more pressure to the heel area. One of the reasons we do recommend keeping that heel down on a vibration platform, there's one study that was done a while ago, one of the first studies on osteoporosis and vibration, and the study found out you got good hip bone density increases, but not low back, and that's mostly because the patients or the subjects in that study were told to shift their weight a little bit towards their toes and not on the heels. So that kind of shows that getting that heel down is very, very important. And so in the next few sessions, we're going to go through the low back and the wrist areas, and we'll see you in the next module.